As I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Home of the Bucks, WTMJ.
110-105, our final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. It's the Bucks taking down the New York Knicks in group play of the NBA in-season tournament. Bucks did get outscored in the fourth quarter, 29-28. You wouldn't know it, though, with the way this game closed out, and specifically the way Damian Lillard closed out this game. Our plays, or plays as this would be this time, of the game from Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino today, just as it did Thursday night in the opener against the 76ers, come to us courtesy of Damian Lillard. 15 of his 30 points came in the fourth quarter, including a pair of big moments. First of those was after a Jalen Brunson three-pointer spotted the Knicks a two-point lead, their first lead since early into the second quarter. Damian Lillard would have an answer.
Hands the ball to Lillard, fires away from three, got it! Damian Lillard on time, in Dame time with a minute to go.
Just over a minute left. That was the first points in a minute 45 seconds, coincidentally, since Damian Lillard hit a pair of free throws, but it put the Bucks up by just one. They would get a stop, and then Damian Lillard would put it out of reach.
Now Middleton goes past his man. He's going to feed it to Lillard, gliding inside. Count it with a foul! Dollar Dame! Giving the Bucks their money's worth!
He would hit that free throw that would come afterwards to extend the Bucks' lead up to four. Brook Lopez would tack on a free throw moments later, and the Bucks would seal this one at the free throw line. 110-105, they take down the New York Knicks behind 30 points from Dame Lillard, 15 of them coming in the fourth quarter, six coming in 26-second stretch, as you heard there. And that seals this one for the Bucks, 110-105. Our play of the game brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Find your win at the Midwest Premier Gaming, Entertainment, and Hotel Destination. All of that and more waiting for you at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. When we come back, we will take a look at the NBA scoreboard. As I mentioned, give you the score for that other game in the Bucks group and take a look at the rest of these games on our first night of the NBA in-season tournament. We'll get you caught up on the scores and preview the Bucks' next matchup Monday night after this. Before we do that, though, let's pause 10 seconds for station ID.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
5-point win for the Bucks over the New York Knicks thanks to the late-game heroics from Damian Lillard and the entire game, the defense of Brook Lopez. Bucks take down the Knicks 110-105. We'll wrap up the post-game after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique.
and in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
If they vote not to confirm you, that means essentially you're fired. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff.
There's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. They found a way to let the bar sink a little bit lower.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
.110-105, our final score here inside Fiserv Forum. It's the Bucks taking down the New York Knicks and opening up the in-season tournament with a victory. Damian Lillard carries the Bucks to the promised land once again, scoring 15 of his 30 points in the fourth quarter, and that included 15 of the final 16 points the Bucks as a team scored in this game. The go-ahead three you heard on our play of the game, and then the ensuing basket as well to extend the Bucks lead. Dame time means winning time, as Marjon Beauchamp told us, and we have now witnessed that two times, five games into this season. Taking a look at the NBA scoreboard, and we'll mention again, Fridays and Tuesdays are NBA in-season tournament nights. So that is when you will have your group play matchups going on. You got five teams per group, and you play each other. So that does mean there is going to be one team left out each night. Each Friday and Tuesday, you'll have one team in your group that is idle. Tonight, in the Bucks, for the Bucks group, I should say, that was the Charlotte Hornets. So you had the Wizards and Heat playing, and of course the Bucks and the Knicks. Let's get you caught up on all of those scores from tonight in group play of the in-season tournament. Seven games played tonight, and we have seen five of those seven games go final. Two are currently in action. Starting with those final scores, you had outside of the Bucks group, the Indiana Pacers beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 121-116. Donovan Mitchell scored 38 points, which we thought was the most we had seen in the in-season tournament until Jalen Brunson took the floor against the Bucks. But 38 points from Donovan Mitchell, not enough to lead the Cavaliers to victory. Cleveland, by the way, not only gets the loss here in in-season tournament play, but they're 2-4 to start the season. Pacers got 27 points and 9 rebounds from Miles Turner in the victory. In the Bucks group, the Miami Heat get their second win of the season. They're 2-4 after a near triple-double from Tyler Hero. 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists, leading the way in a 121-114 victory over the Washington Wizards. Wizards are now 1-4 on the season. This was a matchup between the two worst records in the Eastern Conference. Jordan Poole scored 19 in the loss for the Wizards. Elsewhere in the East, the Brooklyn Nets get past the Chicago Bulls. Mikal Bridges with a slam dunk to seal it in the closing seconds. 109-107 final. Zach LaVine did score 24 in the loss for the Bulls. Chicago, though, also 2-4 on the season. Dorian Finney-Smith scored 21, mostly known for his defense. brought the offense today. And in the most entertaining game, the Golden State Warriors are 5-1 to start the season as they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 141-139. Steph Curry scored 30 points with 8 rebounds and 7 assists, while rookie Chet Holmgren had 24 points and 8 rebounds in the loss for the Thunder. Two games in action as we speak. First of those is in Denver, where the Nuggets lead the Mavericks 51-42. 11 points from Nikola Jokic, 10 points from Luka Doncic. Luka, by the way, has started this season on an absolute tear. But the Mavericks are undefeated at 4-0. The Nuggets are 4-1. And remember, Jason Kidd is not coaching this game due to an illness. Finally, in Portland, the Trailblazers and Grizzlies, close one there, 53-52. The Memphis Grizzlies lead it, less than a minute remaining in the first half. Desmond Bane, 18 quick points for Memphis. Grizzlies, by the way, are still seeking their first win of the season, starting 0-5, and they will be without Ja Morant for 19 more games after this as he continues to serve his 25-game suspension. So, after our first night of group play, you got the Bucks and the Miami Heat atop their table at 1-0. The Wizards and the New York Knicks are 0-1, while the Charlotte Hornets have yet to play in group play. Their first matchup will be Tuesday, and that will also be the Bucks' next in-season tournament game 2 weeks from today when they go to Charlotte to take on those Hornets. Following Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving, is when the Bucks will host the Washington Wizards, and their final in-season tournament game will be November 28th, Tuesday, November 28th in Miami against the Heat. Could very well be the matchup that decides who wins their group and potentially who gets the wild card in the Eastern Conference. 110-105, our final score here. More late game heroics from Damian Lillard, whose 30 points lift the Bucks to their third victory of the season. Our next game broadcast is going to be Monday night when the Bucks head to Brooklyn to take on the 3-2 Nets. Another 6:30 tip time. 6 o'clock is when we hit the airwaves with our pregame coverage. For our crew here, Dave Kane, our engineer Ryan Elliott, and our studio crew, engineer Max Meyerson, and our producer Tommy Wirtz, I'm Justin Garcia signing off, reminding you we will talk once again Monday night with more Bucks basketball right back here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Of our tribal nations and get together as much as we possibly can, because I think if we can get us there to vote, if we can get our native people there, we're all going to be heard. Yeah. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what we really want.
Exactly. You know, our sister state, Wisconsin, and we're on 20 stations in Wisconsin right now. You can see the contrast from representation in the state of Minnesota as not having representation in Wisconsin. Thank goodness they have a Democratic governor, but you know, you can only veto and do things so long.
Yeah, it's important to have everybody in those offices. These elections in particular are really important. November 7th is a big date. We want everybody to show out. We want everybody to go to the Secretary of State's website. Check that website. There's a polling place finder. You pop your address in there, your zip code. They will show you where to vote and who's up, you know, which seats are up for election. Mm-hmm. Everything is right there for you. It's very simple. It's not a hard process. And that's one thing that we want to put out there is this is not a hard process. We want to be involved so we can all get things changed.
You know, it's an election here in St. Paul for city council, school board, and we can't emphasize enough how important these people are to get the right people elected, especially what's happened to our nation in the last 6 years, meaning the United States, with people that are infiltrating that have are bad actors and are not good for our communities, but also the nation, meaning
the United States. And it does start in those state seats. When you talk about services for the school, when you talk about services out there in the community, for police, policing, everything is done at those state levels. Super important to get out there and vote. Make sure you get out there. If you aren't registered, get pre-registered. November 7th is coming. We want you to help make voting a tradition.
Derek, how can we got 30 seconds left. How can anybody get a hold of your organization?
You can check our website, nacdi.org. Lots of information on there. You can always come on down to Powell Grounds also.
Oh, you know we'll be there.
Yes.
Hey, thanks so much, Derek. Make voting a tradition is the way we got to do it. Thank you so much for stopping in. And everyone, and get out and vote. And if you need any information about voting, you know, Secretary of State, Make Voting a Tradition website, seek them out. They'll help you any way they can. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho!
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Did you know Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken airs 5 nights a week at 10 p.m.? That's 5 nights of talking about ghosts, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. We're talking about the paranormal every Monday through Friday with some of the most trusted names in the field. Join us and step into the unknown with Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m., only if you dare.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care. It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Hey, producer Haley Cherry with you now. I want to quickly introduce a couple special encore segments from John Greendeer. John is currently the Health and Wellness Coordinator at Ho-Chunk Healthcare Center in Wisconsin and is an enrolled member of Ho-Chunk Nation. So take it away, John.
Jige, hana, chini, kadagi, we know. My name is John Greendeer. I am once again excited to send each of you a warm greeting. Also excited to be on the radio. This is kind of cool. So a lot of people don't know this. I'm actually a licensed ham radio operator. Yep. Let that sink in. KD9ETK is my call. But it has nothing to do with me being on the radio. So it's actually quite useless information. So I thought it was kind of cool, but it'll get more relevant from here, I promise. Today we get to talk about something a little bit more in my wheelhouse. I am the executive director of heritage preservation for the Ho-Chunk Nation, which is a pretty expansive title, but if you look at what it covers, that's even more broad. I always ask folks, you know, what do you think of when you hear heritage preservation? And, you know, some folks, the response is, you know, powwows, drums, songs, music, feathers, regalia, you know, dances. Others, you know, might be more on the naturalist side of the spectrum and say, well, all the things that predate, you know, pre-colonial contact, you know, and our rivers, our land, our mountains, our you know, forests, vegetation, animals, all these things that, you know, those are the things we need to preserve. You know, others, you know, look at it from a more scholarly point of view in terms of the historical context or political, you know, and it's about sovereignty. It's about your legal disposition as a nation. It's what you can do to self-govern. So what is it? It's all of those and more. And even nowadays, preservation really is synonymous with everything that falls under quote culture. So we have a lot of things that that we do oversee. Now, as a preservationist, those are very distinct. Culture being something that you can't really kill or anything like that. It's a part of your daily life. How you brush your teeth, when you go to school, who gets the TV first, all that stuff is a part of your culture. Your home has one, your work has one, your school, your church. But more importantly, you know, we look at preserving our heritage. And these are things that probably weren't intended to change, like, you know, your songs, your stories, you know, your fundamental beliefs, principles, family, clan, colors, those types of things. And so those are kind of more in the area. And while it does seem like they do overlap, because they do, we do try to be more distinctive to focus on some of those elements that might be in danger of being lost. So when I started as the executive director for heritage preservation, I thought like I was going to be like zapped down, you know, with a bag over my head, and I'm going to go down 7 flights into this, you know, dark, eerie area where we had this big, giant, massive storage unit of all of our songs and stories and everything that defined us historically. And, you know, it was not a scene out of the X-Files by any means. We don't have all that stuff. Yes, there are recordings. Yes, there are photographs. Yes, there are. But there certainly isn't a place where you can just walk into it and, you know, plug in your USB and just fill your whole world up with history and knowledge. We are remnants of an oral tradition of a vastly, you know, substantive oral tradition of songs and stories and things that identify you as a family. And, you know, I'd mentioned before in a previous show that, you know, a lot of these things were severed, not, you know, just simply by boarding schools, but, you know, a lot of, you know, forces in westernization that have really changed our daily culture. You know, today we can't say we are, you know, living the life of those of us and our people in the past. You know, we're too busy working 2 jobs just to be broke and, you know, getting our kids off to school so we can be conveniently late for work and probably unwrapping more meals than we should be, you know. So there are, there's just, you know, certain things that lifestyles that we have now that, you know, probably don't synchronize with, you know, the people that we came from who really built their life or their way of life, which Ho-Chunks will call Woshka, around simplicity, you know, food, water, shelter, things that we kind of take for granted nowadays. But if we were ever forced to go back to that, there's probably a good chance we'd have a bit of a struggle. Yes, we could eat deer if you can get one, or catch fish if you can catch one, or make nets or make hooks. You know, we didn't have necessarily the obligation to learn survival skills. You know, that's what they would be for us today, but to them it was just simply living. So I don't know how long it would take us to learn today, but, you know, back then that way of life wasn't something you learned in a weekday or, you know, years, or even a lifetime. It took many lifetimes. You know, we go back, you know, thousands and thousands of years, and, you know, our oral tradition has us, you know, placed back into the red banks of the Green Bay. But, you know, we don't really know when that was. You know, we can certainly, you know, use science to determine, you know, when, you know, the human existence took place into this area, but we can't really verify, you know, lean too heavily on archaeology or belief system. We just have to accept the fact that we don't know. And if we were meant to know, we would. But I can say that, you know, when we start going back to, you know, our history, and, you know, I hate to surprise everyone, but history doesn't start when a white guy sets foot on a piece of earth. You know, a lot of times we do that when we say, we're going to talk about history. Well, it's going to be George Washington or Ben Franklin or Christopher Columbus. And, you know, no, history starts, you know, way before that, you know, before we can even think of. And so, you know, we discipline ourselves to make sure that, you know, we don't think in that Western manner. This is how and who we are. So, to give you a scale of that, you know, one of the exercises that, you know, we'll provide in making sure people understand the heritage of and where we are, we pull this 50-foot rope out and have the children kind of hold that as far out as they can. And that rope, in this context, only represents 14,000 years, you know, where we're dated back to, at least, you know, on the science end of things. But we introduce, you know, things like, you know, the projectile points and some of the stone tools all the way. You know, these are the historic areas where they, you know, prehistoric areas where they didn't have, you know, recording devices or written languages, those types of things. And people will actually get a chance to see the scale of this because, you know, every foot of that rope represents about approximately 280 years. Which means that, you know, if you went 2 feet, you've already passed the arrival of Columbus to the Americas, you know. And so you have to think back from those 48 feet. Oh, my God, there was a lot of time between then and now. We are not the first. We're not fresh off the boat here. We've been here for such a long time. And the reason why we have made it to this day is because of those elements of our heritage. So making sure that those things are passed down to our folks is probably our biggest mission, to make sure that there's a connection there. And there is. And that's the amazing thing about it is, you know, these things that you know, we credit our ancestors to, we have those things. We never lost them. We may not have to engage those, but there are certain things that, you know, we do in heritage preservation and cultural resources and language that really show that connection is there and it's as strong as it's ever been before. So whenever we learn how to say our name and our language and use it, whenever we learn how to craft an item that has some utility and we see people using it, it's there. So, you know, I don't, you know, it doesn't take long for people to realize. I get really amped up on things like this, but you know, this connection that we have, you know, they can't take that away from us. That's who we are. We are these people that, you know, that they try to separate us from. So, you know, heritage preservation is really about making sure that we have a strong connection and a strong identity with who we are, because that really is what determines our success in the modern Western world. And it's what determined our success in the prehistoric times as well. So heritage preservation does include a lot. And, you know, I'm always discouraged because, you know, I don't know the things that people come to ask me or, you know, the people I work with, they say the same thing. We don't know everything. We'd like to be able to help. But, you know, one of the things that they talk about, you know, in our way of life, and I hope I don't butcher this too much, but, you know, when they say that Ho-Chunga to Woshka ke ineki ya oncha ki kara chegi hi ain chak shinai, you know, we're not doing this alone. That's, you know, we don't have this all by ourselves. It's with our group, our family, our clan, that we can all do this. And, you know, this is knowledge that, you know, I think is really important, that no one person knows all of this, but we all know a little bit. And when we come together, that's how we come to know everything. You know, we can't do it all ourselves, but if everyone does a little.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. He's done this dozens of times. The president did it again today, visiting mass shooting families and first responders after last week's Lewiston, Maine mass shooting. The president again asking Congress to pass common sense gun laws.
Too many Americans have lost loved ones or survived the trauma of gun violence.
A judge says the Newport News, Virginia teacher shot by her six-year-old student can continue with her $40 million lawsuit against the school system. The schools originally said she could only receive workman's compensation. House Democrats say Republicans are threatening national security by only okaying aid to Israel without more help for Gaza refugees and the war in Ukraine. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries.
We should not play partisan political games as it relates to the need to provide humanitarian assistance.
Nearly 80 Americans let out of Gaza today. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is dismissing suggestions that a conservative advertising blitz persuaded him to move articles of impeachment forward against Megan Wolf. The group bought $100,000 of TV and newspaper ads in Milwaukee calling for Voss's ouster. Voss tells the Cap Times the group doesn't understand how the process works. Wisconsin Democrats are in campaign mode a year early. They're launching a statewide organizing effort in 115 communities this weekend. President Biden might not have long coattails in Wisconsin. State Party Chair Ben Wickler says that won't matter.
Voters are casting ballots because of the issues, because of their yearning for freedom, because they want to have the power to make their own decisions about their own bodies, because they want to live in a democracy.
Wickler points to Democrats' recent wins for statewide office and Jenna Protasiewicz's Supreme Court victory. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. 21 overnight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 43, cloudy tomorrow night, 31. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 32.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
2333-SNAP or snapconstruction.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Overnight tonight, cloudy with a low of 28, then Saturday, sunshine with a high of 44. Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. Come in for the famous Nightingale Burger or the Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings. View their menu or place a takeout order at nightingalempls.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Anachakji, Jigay, Hini Kadagi, we know. To everyone out there, I greet you again. It's an amazing opportunity to share a little bit with you for all the listeners at Native Roots Radio and the hosts. My name is Mashuska, or as some people in my country always say, my taxpaying name is John Greendeer. Not long ago, I was asked to supplement the show with a little bit of Ho-Chunk history, a little culture, a little bit of knowledge about the government. I don't know why they asked me to do that. Sometimes it can be a difficult task because the nature of the subject of what you're speaking about can be precarious because a lot of these things derive from oral tradition. And as we know, families and people hear things a little bit different. So the nice thing about the Ho-Chunk community is we understand that. So we know that there's going to be variations in what we heard. And a lot of times in other cultures, difference divides people. It's interesting that, you know, difference actually brings us together because we all bring a little bit to the table to have a lot. And so that's part of the unique nature of the Ho-Chunk culture. So just recently, I returned from Michigan. I had a chance to visit the Indigenous Food Summit there. And it was the first time I did that. I haven't gone. As a matter of fact, this is something that happens annually. And I'm either busy or don't have enough money. And all my friends are going and all the cool people are over there. And they're trading seeds and they're learning how to cook foods. And so I miss it. And this time I did not. So I'm coming back a little bit high on the elation of culinary arts in Indigenous country, the use of Indigenous and Aboriginal food sources. So these folks are absolutely amazing. They are so brilliant. And it reminds me of our times about now, you know, past the equinox that, you know, our new year is upon us. And so for those who follow the traditional way of life, our spring feasts are beginning, which is probably less about the feast and more about the families and the clans coming together to bring a little bit so that they can share with the other clans and families out there. So right now, even today, we are celebrating a spring feast, and I'll get to attend and listen to some of their stories, hear their songs. So these are parts of our culture that we are very proud of. And they're not out there on the table and in front, and you don't see Facebook posts about them too much in social media. They're not in our newsletter. They're not in the local paper. This is just a way of life. That's really what it is. It isn't. I wouldn't write a story about me brushing my teeth. It's just something I do. And so this is something that a lot of Ho-Chunks do. And you know, I wish more had a chance to learn about it. But it's also a way of life that doesn't go out recruiting people or trying to convert people to a manner of living. It's just there, and it's there for everyone. Everyone has a place there. So I'm really excited about that. This is a busy time of year for our earth clans. So our deer, our buffalo, our elk, and, you know, our leaders, our bears. So they're waking up right now, and, you know, we're tending to the ground. We're, you know, after a winter is always a good time to see what our responsibility is to our environment, because things are starting to grow. Things are starting to remind us of how lush our natural world really is and what we have to do to protect it. And so these are our responsibilities to do as Earth Clan people. And this goes beyond, you know, not buying straws or walking to work or putting your aluminum cans in the recycling. This actually involves reminding us to create a lifestyle around really thinking about our natural surroundings, or as Jaji Grekumani says, you know, making sure that the rights of nature are ensured. And we have the sovereign authority to make sure that that's enforced. And I, you know, we've always had it. So I don't want anyone to think that we inherited it by some act of Congress or some treaty. We have always retained our sovereign authority. So that's one of the most important things to remember. We have always had organization as a community, as a social group, as a clan system,
We had roles in our gender, in our ages. And so these are the things that helped us organize. And that's one of the things I was excited to talk about. I am a political science graduate, public administration and policy. So some of these things kind of intrigue me on one end, because it really is a unique juxtaposition to have a very culturally social organization of a people, and then to move them on to a different model of governance. Now, keep in mind that even the model of governance that we have isn't really European. This was not a creation of the matriarch of England or anything else. This was derived by some of the folks out, the indigenous people out in the East. So it's really important to remember that too, because often is the case, people say, well, this is our government, it's better. No, it's not. this organization as a governance was actually from a model of the Iroquois Confederacy. So let's not take credit where you don't have it. So we go back to the original groups. And depending on what time period you jump in Ho-Chunk history, you're probably going to have a different profile because of primarily demographics. But the social organization, the language, still remained a part of the heritage and somewhat static and unchanged. So when we organize, and this is, post the boarding school era, well, we kind of still have a boarding school mentality in some regard, but we were disenfranchised. We were chased out. We had warfare. We held our ground. And so, we didn't have much of a social organization in terms of being able to provide our own sustenance, so that our agri-fields or hunting lands, fishing, trapping, gathering, those things were now a bit frustrated by a series of land claims that were taking place. Now, remember, the state had just started in 1848, and later on the counties, through their efforts, began to build their nest eggs through taxation. And a lot of the land that was transferred and promised from the federal government to Ho-Chunks in the form of allotments or homesteads were looked at upon counties as taxable moments. And therefore, a lot of these pieces of property or parcels, if they weren't sold or taken or negotiated out of, were subject to tax that eventually went into default and foreclosure. So, over a period of time, much of the land that was originally granted prior to them setting that into a trust status was lost. And so, and the counties wear this. They have this. Their acquisition of land is nefarious. A lot of times any agreements that took place were done with what were called trustees of certain villages, encampments, or families. And these trustees, it didn't take them long to figure out that they never even had to meet with their own clients to actually sign off for them and have that enforceable either by the, developing state administrators or the U.S. Army. And so, one of my Jaji said, you can't steal land. You can't pick it up and walk around and hide it somewhere. It's going to stay there. So really what this is a paper war, a title, a deed, certification of ownership. So he hit the nail on the head, because he's right. The land actually isn't going anywhere, but the ownership or the documentation, the new documentation now, actually dictates who does have ownership over that property. And so that's kind of where the battles really took place. And as you can imagine, even today, tribes have a difficult time having legal representation on a lot of cases because they don't have the resources to do that. You can imagine them, about 100 years ago with this same problem, having no chance of having any type of representation on a lot of these early land claims. Now, I know I'm glossing over a lot of history, but, ultimately the federal government, realized that there was no way to sustain any tribes without having the designation of trust status. And so they began, through acts of Congress designating properties. And eventually in 1934, when they passed the Indian Reorganization Act, bequeathed some power upon the Secretary of Interior to take land into trust for the benefit of tribes to hold by the federal government. And so through this designation, all kinds of things have to happen. There was also from the land that the tribes did have or did receive from the government, they had to have some sort of governance to it. And there wasn't, you know, heirship to properties, you know, meant that sometimes down through the generations that that number could grow increasingly to hundreds just for a small 40-acre property. And in order for any type of easement or any type of negotiation to take place, you had to have over 50% of the heirs to agree. Now, this is a problem, especially if you're the federal government. And so the only way to actually see a benefit of this is to consolidate that land into one singular owner. So these preempt our own Indian Land Consolidation Act, or ILCA, which is basically an effort to take land that has a number of heirs to it and have them receive payment at maybe fair market value to give up their share and then give that over to their governing tribe. So this has happened and still continues to happen. There's pros and cons to it. Obviously, as you know, the years go on, your interest in that property is always going to diminish. And so the value of that is going to be small. In order for you to do anything, you're going to have to get 50% or more to dictate what happens on that land. So eventually, over time, it's probably, you know, more spam than anything. At least with this, you not only receive financial compensation for your property, but you also it also goes to your governing tribe as well. And so that was the hope of taking place. Unfortunately, the singular owner didn't exist. There were not a lot of official tribal governments. And so in 1934, when they passed the act, they knew that that act required the U.S. government to send out sentinels to help tribes build governing councils. So this is when a lot of the governments formed. So everyone, thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful day and get outside.
Yes, get outside, everyone. The sun is shining here in the Twin Cities. If you are just tuning in, we just heard from a couple segments from the best of from John Greendeer. And John was talking about the great Ho-Chunk Nation out in Wisconsin, where Robert is an enrolled member and I myself am a descendant. So we have to actually take a quick break here. But up next, we have a brand new Sacred Animals Fun Fact Friday segment from Humane Policy Advocate Wendy Pilot. Please stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19 inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
This is Angela Warner for Warner Stellion, and I don't know about you, but I am not the most patient person. Waiting for something once I've decided on it is really hard. So why wait for Black Friday to score up to 50% off appliances? Warner Stellion is guaranteeing Black Friday prices now, so you can finally replace that almost broken dishwasher with free installation on top brands. You can upgrade to that bigger fridge and faster stove and take 2 years to pay with your Warner Stellion card. Shop now at WarnerStellion.com.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Hey, just before the break, we were listening to John Greendeer of the Great Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin, but it's Friday here, and we're winding down the show, so Humane Policy Advocate Wendy Pilot with the United States Humane Society has a brand new Fun Fact Friday Sacred Animal segment for us today, so please take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And as always, it is my pleasure to do that. Today is Friday, so happy Friday. Fun fact Friday today. And just the other day, I was talking about how the cold weather is here already, too fast for me. I feel like we should still be in fall. Not even all the leaves are off the trees yet, and we already had 2.7 inches of snow in MSP Airport, which is the official snow total for us. And it's just really just cold too fast for me. But anyway, every winter, Robert and I get a little visitor in our yard, a little possum. And I'm always shocked to see the possum, but also really happy. And I don't see the possum during the summer, but they do come around our yard in the winter. I think one lives under our deck and comes out and will eat like the seeds and things that I throw out in the backyard if I'm cooking in the kitchen and like chopping up some broccoli or vegetables. I always throw them out the scraps. So I always see them, the possums, I see raccoons, the squirrels, they'll come around, the rabbits, they'll come around and eat the scraps that I throw out in the backyard. Instead of a compost, that's what we have, right? But today I have some fun facts about possums, which I'm really happy to share. I love these little animals. And I did think about the possums because just the other day on my Facebook feed was a video. And what it was a wildlife camera that captured a possum that was like sitting up on a tall log. And it was helping a deer by picking ticks off his face. And it's just like a really cute little video. You could just go on, I think it's on YouTube, and just type in possum eating deer ticks off of a deer. And it's a cute little video of this little possum. And the deer is like bending down and letting the possum pick the little ticks off the face, off his face. So, because we know possums do eat a lot of ticks. So that's a good thing that they do. And in the winter, I think that they come around in our yard because I said before one lives under our deck and stays warm. But their fur does not provide much insulation from the cold. They typically spend the winter in dens that are dry, sheltered, and safe. And possums are vulnerable to frostbite on their hairless tails, ears, and toes. So they often, it's called hole up, during extremely cold spells, and their dens may be in hollow logs or trees. Last year, I built a little shelter for the animals that come in the backyard. We have a stand-up garden, It's like 4 feet tall, and I just plant pollinator plants in there, so we have lots of bees and butterflies and hummingbirds that come around. But in the winter, what I did last year was I covered it with a tarp, and then underneath I put a heated mat. I plugged it in so it was warm, and then I threw some like wood shaving over it. So I would look out there and I would see like the little possum's head sticking out. So I know that animals did use it as a shelter. I don't know if they stayed in there all the time, but it probably was warm and cozy in there when it gets to be, you know, 20 below zero and the wind's blowing out there. So here we're talking about possums, and I just have some fun facts about them. They have 50 teeth, more than any other mammal in North America, according to the Wildlife Illinois. They also have tails that are often compared to those of rats. And like rats, their tails are prehensile. And what that means is that they can be used to help them balance and climb, and also that it's their tails are capable of grasping objects. I didn't know that. And they also have superpowers. Possums aren't superheroes like Batman and Spider-Man, but they do have something of a superpower that's beneficial to their survival. They are immune to the venom inflicted by honeybees, scorpions, and rattlesnakes, among other venomous animals. They're also unaffected by toxins such as botulism, according to the National Wildlife Federation. In addition, possums rarely contract rabies, so you don't have to be worried about getting bit by them, and they do rarely bite. Because their normal body temperature, they don't get rabies because their normal body temperature is too low for the virus to survive, and they only rarely contract Lyme disease from tick bites. They are immune to the effects of toxins and venoms because of a neutralizing factor in their blood. This may be helpful to humans down the road because scientists are studying it for the use of creating anti-venom. So that's really cool. Also, you know how they say playing possum? That is really a true thing. Possums do this, but they don't do it voluntarily. So they don't think about like, oh my gosh, I'm really scared, and now what I'm going to do is I'm going to faint. It's a physiological thing that happens to them, like when a human faints. So a human faints, they have no control over it, right? The human just faints. So the same thing happens to a possum. He gets really, really scared and then just faints. So that's really cute. And that's according to the San Diego Zoo. They reported that. They are America's only marsupial. When you think of marsupials, some of the well-known inhabitants of Australia is a marsupial. So a marsupial is a mammal who has a pouch, and that their animals, their young, stay in the pouch. And possums are in North America are the only marsupial. Baby possums are like preemies. Like all baby marsupials, baby possums are called joeys, and those pouches that the marsupials are so well known for are a key part of the joey's development. Female possums are only pregnant for 13 days before giving birth to babies that are as small as honeybees. That's what the San Diego Zoo reports. Immediately after birth, the joeys will crawl into their mother's pouch where they continue to develop because of their small size. Not all the joeys will survive. While litters can be as large as 20, the average surviving litter size is about 8. Joeys will stay in their mother's fur-lined pouch for about 2 months, but even afterwards, they stick close to their moms for a while because the age, between the age of 2 months and 4 months, the
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.